So I wanted to talk about God's kingdom today and what will happen and what we'll see, what kind of things we'll see there. And I wasn't planning on bringing my songbook up, but that last song before the sermonette kind of struck me, Wake My Heart. I've always liked that song. And the words there, verse 4, then the dead in Christ shall rise, and God will awaken his own. Wow. Together we shall reign on earth before Christ's glorious throne. Is this what it's all about? Is this the point of human existence? It really is. God's kingdom is the aim. All the earth at last shall know, all the nations shall see, an age of love and joy and light and peace and harmony. Man, where is it? That doesn't sound like today. The dead in Christ shall rise. Verse 3, then the blind at last shall see, then all the deaf shall hear. The dumb shall sing, the lame man shall go leaping like a deer. And that's healing. Are we living in a world that needs that? I think we maybe can't appreciate just how much we do need that. So we're recently, just a few weeks now, back from the Feast of Tabernacles. And the last great day, the eighth day of the feast, and we spent 8 days looking forward to the coming fulfillment of what these high days mean, what they're all about, entering God's kingdom in earnest. What will it be like? What kind of things will we see? Will we really actually see at that time? This is a real time. This is a coming time. It's going to happen. What types of healings will occur? Of other blessings, other miracles during this time that we pictured just very recently. I remember hearing a minister speak on the last great day many years ago. And this was actually our minister in the Raleigh, North Carolina church where I was, and he was a fairly senior person and did a great job. And that's why he was picked for that last great day. And this was in Norfolk, Virginia. We were in what I think was a large basketball stadium. All of those seats around, there were 5,000 to 7,000 of us in there. Just a tremendous number of people. And you're sitting up high and you look down low. And he's way down there in the middle and he's talking. And this particular minister had lost a teenage daughter while at the feast, several feasts before. And it was to a sudden and unexpected illness. And his subject was how much he looked forward to the last great day. And I imagine he did. He stood there before all of us down there as we watched him. And he said, I want to stand by her grave and just say, Michelle, come up. I think that was her name, if I remember right. And have her back again. It was a very touching message. And there were many people crying in the audience. I remember I personally lost a friend years ago. It was 1975. The North Carolina 24-hour distance record on a 10-speed bicycle back then was 250 miles. And I'm not sure what possessed us, but we decided to try to ride 300 miles in one day on our bikes. And we had been on the road, and these were back roads in North Carolina, very little use. We'd been on the road about 8 hours and about 118 miles, and we were hit by a drunk driver who didn't stop. It was a hit and run, and for the type of riding we did, we would ride one right behind the other because the person in front breaks through the air for the person in back, and it's about 20% easier, and I just happened to be in front when that car hit and my bike disappeared out from under me. And the car was so close, but it didn't touch me. The bicycle pedals had these toe clips that you slip your foot into, and it pulled off my left shoe, and they took paint samples from that shoe to find the car that had hit us. And from the momentum, we were probably going 20 miles an hour or so, and the bike disappeared, and I just slid on my rear end and came up to my feet by momentum and looked ahead of me, and there was, I saw my friend about 30 feet ahead lying in the ditch on the side of the road, and he wasn't moving. And so what do you do? I ran and slid down and kind of slipped my arm under his head and he'd call his name. Are you okay? Are you okay? And as I did that, I heard him breathe out his last breath, and he didn't take another breath in. He and I had done an awful lot of riding together. We rode from Raleigh, North Carolina to the beach twice. It's about 150 miles each way, the beach and back. You don't party much after you do that and get down there. It's pretty tiring to go that way. So we had done that, and when we were hit, it was outside of Ahoskie, North Carolina. It was a very hard call to make back home that he had been killed, because I knew his mom and his dad, and I knew his brother and I knew his sister all very well. So I look forward to seeing him again as these high days of God manifest their meaning. So I do want to talk about the holy days and what we're going to see and what's going to happen. And the message is an emotional one, or at least it is for me, but it's in a good way, a good type of emotions for the things we'll see, a very good way about things God and Christ will bring about in the millennium and the last great day. His kingdom with us as helpers. The title today is Remarkable Events Foreshadowed by the Fall Holy Days. And I picked four of these I want to preview. I thought I could preview four types of events. First one, people will see loved ones again who have been lost to death. And that's just kind of it's a hard thing to grasp if you're outside of the church and the truth in so many ways, in a human way. People will see them again. This will include lost children. You know, it was much, much worse for my friend's parents and his brother and his sister than it was for me. It was definitely bad enough for me, but they will see loved ones again. Lost parents will be seen again. Any family member, friends, some not seen for a very long time. Does the Bible give little previews of what is really going to happen later on a very large scale? Let's look in 1 Kings. 1 Kings there, Samuel, Chronicles, Kings. 1 Kings and chapter 17. And we'll find one of those stories here. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. This is Elijah we're reading about. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except for at my word." Doesn't that sound like the coming two witnesses? We're going to see something like this again, perhaps not too far down the road. Verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he, and this is Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath, and when he had come to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her, and he said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." So these are tough times. There's a terrible famine going on here, a terrible drought. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "In addition to that water, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And that's when she stopped, when she turned around. She said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in a jar. And see, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm gathering sticks, a couple sticks, so I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it, and we're going to die, because this is it. This is all we've got. We're out. There's no more coming. This is what I'm doing." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, and make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." And she probably thought, well, what difference does it really make if we get two bites each or one and a half? It's the future can't be avoided. It's inevitable. We're out. So, thus says the Lord God of Israel, says Elijah, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So she went away, and she did it, according to the word of Elijah. And she and he ate, and her household ate for many days. So he stayed with her, and he got to know her, and she had a young son. And I'm sure he watched the son run around and play as they had some food. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. And in verse 17, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So he breathed out his last breath as well, and he died. And so she said to Elijah, and the emotions are in here, you have to picture, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And most commentaries say we don't know what sins he's talking about, but evidently there was something that bothered her in her past. And verse 18, the International Standard Version says, or translates this, you came to me that you could, so that you could uncover my guilt, and you're responsible for the death of my son. So a difficult moment. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms. So evidently this was a young child that the woman could carry in her arms. Carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out three times on the child and cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord my God, I pray let this child's soul, or breath, or life, come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul, the breath of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. This is a kingdom type event we're reading about here. The dead are back to life. Let's look in Luke 7, another story of this sort. In the New Testament, Luke 7. And try to imagine as much as we can, if we were there, if we were watching, if we knew the people, if we saw the hurt that was being felt. Luke 7, verse 11. Now it happened the day after that that he, and this is Christ that's being spoken of, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, so she had already lost evidently her husband. And there was a lot of support for her, and a large crowd from the city was with her. Was this with this woman, and the Lord saw her. You know, it makes me think about Christ in the Garden of Eden, how much he enjoyed being with Adam and Eve, his first children, and talking with them and teaching them that interaction. And a God of compassion is what we have. And he had compassion on her, and he said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried the coffin stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Will these things happen? So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and Christ presented him to his mother. I would like to watch that, see that type of thing. Look in Hebrews 11. I think we were there in the earlier. This Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, in verse 1 of this chapter, 1 and 2. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is this a description of God's church, of who we are? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are we hoping for things? For God's kingdom, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. And then we read about these people here, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Verse 13, and this is one of those you don't go to heaven when you die verses. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises. They didn't receive salvation, eternal life yet, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Is that not another description of God's people? Is this who we are? We're in this world, but we're called on it. They were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. In verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, he was willing to offer up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So again, Abraham was convinced of this. And in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and of the prophets, and through faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." And we've been reading about that. We've been reading about such events, about women and parents receiving their dead raised to life again, a precursor of the kingdom in the wonderful last great day. What will God's kingdom include? Really include? Look at Matthew 10. Well, we have a bit of a description here in Matthew as Christ commissions his apostles. Matthew 10 and verse 5 of that chapter. Matthew 10, 5, "Then these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom from heaven is at hand." This is the type of thing you're going to see in God's kingdom when it happens, when it comes, when it manifests. "Go and say, the kingdom is at hand, and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give in the kingdom that will be at hand." How do we imagine having someone we've lost return to us? Maybe a parent return to a very hurt child. We'll see these things as we move forward through days we've just pictured in the feast. I thought we might grasp some of the feeling. You can't fully do this, but by a short YouTube. You know, I sit on the bed at night often when I'm going to sleep and I just start watching these things. You have to be careful because they all seem to want to try to lead you in the wrong way. I was actually watching the Three Stooges as part of my age generation, I guess. But it started leading me to some others, and one came up, and it was a short YouTube video by a singing group called the Poppy Girls. And I didn't know who they are, but I guess they're in Great Britain. And the title of the song they sing is "The Call." And it's about someone who is gone. And a quote from the song, the words of the song is, "The person will come back when you call me. There's no need to say goodbye." And it makes me think of our minister saying, "Michelle, come up. Please come up out of your grave." And you can see his hurt and the way he felt. And he knew about the last great day. He knew these things would happen. He understood. And in this case, one of the singers we'll see in a moment has a dad who is away at war. And you'll see five girls, and the three in back are a bit older. And two in front is the shorter girl on the left front who is singing and doesn't know that her dad is there as they sing. So these are emotional videos. This, I think, will be the kingdom. But again, in a good way, in a very good way, as these things happen and we get to see that. I thought the song was pretty in this one. I do think it was filmed in England because it looked to me like the Queen's in the audience. I'm not very up on the Queen, but let's watch about the last 2 minutes of this video, if that'll start up for us. Sometimes I'm always a little afraid to depend too much on technology.
Now we're back. It's just a feeling no one knows about. Just because they can't feel.
So that's the young girl I mentioned.
Now, let me just explain that one of our poppy girls has a father currently deployed on operations in the Indian Ocean. Lieutenant Commander Billy Adams isn't due back for another 3 months, so unfortunately, he wouldn't have been in a position to see his daughter perform tonight. Well, Megan, we have a very, very nice surprise for you right now.
So what I'd like to do is get a feel for things that are coming that we will see. And what would it be like to present a dad back to a young daughter or son? It's really remarkable beyond comprehending. These videos do tend to lead you to other similar ones. And I found one other video of a girl surprised by her dad, who she believed was overseas at war. You can see when they start this, she's in a classroom, and she knew someone was coming, but she didn't know who it was that was going to visit the classroom. She had no idea it would be her dad. So as this next one plays, watch her face and see if this might not look like someone in the kingdom who is having a loved one returned to them. This is about a half-minute video here, so it's not too long. I like to think about the joy, the happiness she would have the next day, the next weeks, the next months with her dad back. So we're called, fellow feast keepers, to exceptionally joyful positions in the future of humans that include giving much comfort and happiness, including restoring the dead. Just the knowledge we have that you will see your mom, your dad, your daughter, your son, spouse again, you really will. God will bring this about is one of unequaled value. How can you place a value on the truth in God's church? This makes our job, our calling, an unparalleled privilege. Who else knows these things? Who else really knows these things? Who else will get to do these things? Only God's elect have been called to participate in the manifesting of these days that we've just kept to the rest of humanity. God's elect, the first fruit. And sometimes there's even more joy for the giver, and that's the God family, that's us, than the receiver. We get to be the givers who can watch and participate in the joy. Look back to Matthew 10 where we were. In verse 7 through 8, and Christ said, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are things of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. All kinds of sickness." Some of you know, some of you may not. About 3 weeks back, my mother had a stroke. And 2 Sabbaths back, that's where we were. And I was with her there. She was having trouble coming out of that, and I wished I could heal her. You know, what else do you think? Of course, I don't have that ability right now, but this will be part of the job of right government on this planet, God's government that we're now trained to help administer. Healing waters, when the kingdom comes, will flow from Christ's throne in Jerusalem to heal the planet. Let's look at Ezekiel 47. And read about that time, Ezekiel 47. So this is just 10 chapters beyond 37, the dry bones, all these people coming back in the last great day. And Ezekiel 47, starting in verse 1. Ezekiel 47, 1. "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side." So this is picturing something that we'll see. "And when the man went out to the east with the line," so he had a measuring line in his hand, "he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through it, the waters, and the water came up to my knees," as they moved further down this river. "And he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed." And this is a healing river. I wonder, too, when God's Spirit covers the earth, as the waters cover the sea, so to speak, people are going to stand up and shake their heads and say, "I've never felt like this before." Those who live through this coming time of tribulation, it's just clear somehow, with Satan's influence gone. "And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and the other. And he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed.'" And let's go to Revelation 22 now, where we have a parallel to this. Another version of the same waters. Revelation 22 and verses 1 through 3. Revelation 22, verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of the Lamb of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree or each limb of this tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." This will be a time when the nations require very much healing. Verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse." Satan is going to be gone. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." And who else is here with part of this healing? "And his servants shall serve him for the healing of the nations." God's Spirit-born new family members will be heavily involved in the healing of this now very sick planet. Look in Acts, and we'll see healing here. Acts 3 with Christ. Acts 3, starting in verse 1. I'm sorry, I said Christ. Those who just received the Holy Spirit and had a very heavy dose. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." So this is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb," so this person was born that way, not able to walk, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this is how this individual made a living. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." It's the kind of thing I wish I could do with my mom, but somehow we're not there yet, and I'm not there. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I don't have money. I don't have money, but what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." So he took him by the right hand, immediately lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So this is a guy who had never walked, been lame since he was unable to walk, worse than lame since he was born. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping. I bet he was, and praising God. And it's like the song I started with that I wasn't planning on using, but there it was. Look at Luke 18. Another healing here. Luke 18. And verse 35 of this chapter. Luke 18, verse 35. Then it happened, as he, and this is Christ here, was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he said, "What's going on? I hear a lot of noise over there. Something's happening." He asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and this man said, "I've heard that name. I've heard of all he's done. I've heard of all the healing he's done." He was told, "That's what the noise is. Jesus is passing by." And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still, and this is Christ, God of compassion. He stood still, he stopped, and he commanded him, the man, to be brought to him. And when this man had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And of course, you know the answer here. And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." So a blind man here. And we don't see the emotion of this man. We have to imagine being in his condition and gaining sight and what it was like, or deaf and gaining hearing, or otherwise healed. This next YouTube I brought is one I showed about 3 years ago. So if you've been around this long, you may have seen this one. But it seemed appropriate. It was part of a message that I had called "How Great Thou Art," about God. So yeah, put her on hold. And so what we see here shows a deaf woman, and she's been healed by a cochlear implant. So it's just kind of marvelous what can be done in medicine now. This is part of the inner ear. And you can understand that she doesn't want to overhope, because when you hope too much and it doesn't come true, that just brings terrible disappointment. Thinking you might be healed and then finding out you weren't can be very hard to bear. So this video will start with a healthcare worker activating the deaf woman's implant. This is a 29-year-old who has never heard. She does talk fairly well, not perfectly, but fairly well. It's about a minute and a half long. And watch her smile when she first realizes it actually worked. And she says something like, "Beeping. I'm hearing beeping." And then the emotions that follow. So it is an emotional video. Let's go ahead and play this one.
It's like so close. There you go. We're not right over it. There you go.
It's beeping.
So now technically your device is on. Can you tell? Oh, that's exciting! Here, you can put it down for a second. Just get used to the sound. What does it sound like? don't want to hear myself cry. Can you hear me? Can you hear your voice? Does your voice sound pretty loud? No, not really. What's going on?
My laughter sounds loud.
Yeah, you'll get used to all of that over time. Want to hear your husband say something?
And so we're back from the feast in God's kingdom, of which Christ said, raise the dead, to his disciples, heal the sick. We will see, we will participate in amazing healing in the kingdom. The world so very badly needs healing from one side to the other right now, doesn't it? And I think mental as well as physical. As this age wears down, and sometimes the mental is worse than the physical, God is bringing it with great love and compassion. When will God bring it? When the people of this planet are finally willing to accept it. Hopefully soon. What next do we very much need? Satan has created a society where too many people feel they have no value. You ever bump into anyone like that, or you ever feel like that yourself sometimes? And again, this is a deception in the face of the extreme value God places in each one of his children. Real value, real potential. But Satan has made too many people feel valueless, even in God's church. Our job in the kingdom will include revealing to people the value they actually have. This may sound kind of strange at first, but I personally believe every human being is more valuable than the entire planet Earth. If you can picture that planet from space or a similar other planet. And why? How could I say something like that? Well, what's harder for God to make? A planet or a spirit-born child of his, a family member, another God being? I think planets are easy. Which one required the death of one of two God beings? Only humans, the death of Christ. The kingdom will be a time when dreams that many pre-God beings couldn't allow themselves to have really do come true. Recognition of personal value among these dreams. The next video is a woman singing a song that will only minimally play, and that's because it's called My Funny Valentine, and of course we don't keep Valentine's Day for its origins. And we'll hear just the last few words of this song, but the point with this person is her belief that she's just not worth much. Before we go there, if that will stop, let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 26. How much does God love his children? Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather in their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Christ is saying, of course you are. You're worth so much to God. 28, the last half. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? I think we heard this in the sermonette, starting to sound familiar here. Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and the feast days, and this is what it's all about. And his righteousness and all of these things shall be added to you. Look in John 3. All of these things that we need. John 3, and you probably might guess where I was going here in John 3. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. This isn't the dirt and it's not the rocks. This is the people. God so loved the humans, the children, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Our job, our coming job that we're training for, we'll be working with huge masses in God's kingdom and teaching them that they really do have value, extraordinary value. So watch after the song as this singer is totally taken back by the reception she receives. One of the judges, I wish she didn't, but I can't cut it out, uses the OMG phrase that we don't say that inappropriately undervalues God, but then one of the other judges says of her performance, it was amazing, and I fell in love with you. And you can see if you look close, I'll try to point it out, but she shakes her head, no. When that's, I fell in love with you, and she says, no, not me. I'm no good. You can just see it in this young lady. She can't believe she really does have value. So we'll skip through this video a bit, but let's go ahead and start it. And then we'll stop and go ahead a little bit further.
Well, anyone with you today?
No.
No? So your family don't know that you're here?
No, I didn't tell anyone because I just thought I'd rather just go it alone. And then if I'm not successful, I don't have to admit that to anyone.
Whenever you're ready. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks. Stage fright is something I've battled with. I'm just trying to take each minute as it comes. Someone says no, it's like, for me it's like, you're not good enough. That's where I think most of the like nervousness comes from, is that I, you know, that people say no. I really want to succeed because I feel like I'm failing myself more than anything. I want to prove to everybody I'm here for something more than what they made me for.
Okay, so she's singing the song now. We'll go toward the end of that and restart.
Been waiting for. Your voice is like liquid gold. You have such an authentically beautiful voice. You look amazing. And you know, you could sing the phone book. I absolutely love you, and I love your voice, and I also love the fact that you actually don't even know how good you are.
I have to say, that was the most mesmerizing, sultry, sexy performance.
So here's where she says no, not
you.
Alice, why are you crying?
I just don't think I ever expected this kind of response. It was like my dream, and now it's just happened.
And so there are going to be a lot of people in the kingdom who never expected this. When the last judge said, Alice, why are you crying? She said, I never expected this, and it's my dream, and it's just come true. And does this sound like the kingdom? Does this sound like God's kingdom? Where so many are going to say, I just totally gave up hope. I was sure that nothing was going to work, nothing was going to happen. So many people desire, so many people need this kingdom, but they don't understand it. They don't realize that it's a reality that's coming. We will have the privilege of telling many, many people, yes, there is a God, and He is very good. There is hope, very much hope, and more than hope. The dreams you and endless hurt people wouldn't let yourself dream really can come true. About having some worth, about really being important to someone, and that someone includes God, really important. The dreams so many people will have, and we'll say to them, let's get started learning about it. This is what we're called to be teachers of people like this who feel valueless. It's one of the more beautiful aspects of God's kingdom, I think, that we get to help with. As we move forward in this world, people are going to increasingly lose hope. Belief in God is rapidly vanishing in this country, outside of this country. When our personal world falls apart in God's church, we always have God as part of this church. When the time of Jacob's trouble arises, I always told my kids, you guys know this is coming, but you know there's an other side. The rest of the world doesn't know that. We in the church always have God and we have hope. If there is no God, where do you turn when the world collapses? So these are the people we're going to be helping who live into the millennium and go back and tell them, you know, what there really is. This last video shows someone who never had hope. And hope actually found this guy. The video is in Korean with English translation under the images, but the summary of the story is the person singing grew up homeless from 5 years old. So he took care of himself starting at 5 years old. He sold gum and energy drinks on the street to survive. He slept in a public bathroom for years and really lived a life without hope. And then he heard someone sing opera, and it started a different life in him. So watch the expressions of this guy. And in Matthew, there will be English translations of the Korean. Maybe you could read that so Brent could hear what this guy's saying, or else it won't mean a lot. So watch the expressions of humility on this guy's face. He too knows he has no value from the life he's come out of. Being afraid to show any risk of hoping, even after the audience's response, he just can't believe there's any possible way someone like him can have hope for a bright, happy future. You guys might have to drag that time bar up to the top corner. It will be right over top of those words and make it hard to read. But let's go ahead and start the story of this young fellow.
유난히 평범해 보이는 한 청년이 다음을 준비하고 있습니다.
수원트 제가 최상봉이라고 합니다. 제가 좀 되게 어두운 데 계속 살았거든요. 지금도 이렇게 도전한 것도 너무 막 마음이 좀 되게 무겁고 좀 많이 그런데 남들처럼 좀 그 사람처럼 되고 싶어서 노래는 못하지만 그래도 들을 때만큼 그래도 좀 내가 아닌 다른 사람이 되는 기분이 좀 그런 것 같아요.
안녕하세요.
네, 안녕하세요. 22살 최선봉이라 합니다.
풍기는 외모로 봐서는 지금 무슨 일을 하고 계신지 가늠을 할 수가 없어요.
네, 그냥 막노동하고 있어요, 맨날.
아, 새벽에.
네.
여기 지원서를 보니까 최성봉 씨 가족사항에 아무도 기재가 되어 있질 않아요.
제가 3살 때 고아원에 이렇게 맡겨졌는데요. 5살 때 고아원에서 구타를 맞아가지고 도망쳐 나왔어요.
그러고서는 그럼 어떻게 사셨습니까? 고아원에서 나오셨으면?
5살 때부터 그냥 껌 같은 거 팔면서 바카스나 이런 거 팔면서 그냥 뭐 그렇게 생활을 했고요. 10년 정도.
누군가와 같이 생활을 했나요?
아니요. 혼자.
혼자 5살 때부터?
네. 거의 한 10년 동안 그렇게 살았어요. 작은 곳은 그냥 계단이나 이렇게 화장실, 공동 화장실이나 이런 데서 10년 동안 거기서 이렇게 뭐 하루 살았죠.
공부는 하셨나요? 학교는 다니셨나요?
아니요, 저 초등학교, 중학교 검정고시 맞고요. 학교는 고등학교를 처음 가, 아닌가 학교를 한 곳에 처음 가봤어요.
대단하시네요. 대단하십니다. 네. 오늘 노래를 보여주실 건가요?
네.
아, 평소에 노래를 즐겨 부르셨나요?
그냥 즐겨 부른다기보다는 하루살이처럼 계속 살았다가 처음으로 좋아했던 게 음악이어서 많이 부르진 못해도 되게 좋게 봐요. 좋아해요. 네.
노래 들어볼게요.
The judges too are having trouble maintaining composure, and why might that be beyond the shock of what this young fellow had come out of, and that he really could sing, and this is a guy again is real. He finished second in this competition. He went all the way to the finals, but why were the judges crying as he sang? And part of the answer to that is something we can't hear. It's the words of this song. He's basically singing, "In my fantasy, I see a fair world," is what he's singing. So that, of course, makes it more emotional for them. Let's go ahead and finish this song. So, you know, I was interested in the kingdom and what's going to happen there. I wasn't planning this message. I told you I was sitting on my bed watching the Three Stooges. when this came up, but they kind of pulled me in, and I ended up going that way. We might ask about a young fellow like this. Who held him when he was sick? 5 years old, for 10 years he slept in the public bathroom and outside. Who comforted him when he was afraid? What all did he go through during those 10 years on his own on the streets? This song he sang is called Nella Fantasia, which means in my fantasy. In other words, in my hopes. How badly does the world need the hope we know exists that we just spent a whole feast hearing about? Here are the words of the song he sang. In my fantasy, I see a just world. Something he wasn't allowed to grow up in, but he will experience, where everyone lives in peace and honesty. I dream of souls that are always free, like clouds that float, full of humanity in the depths of the soul. In my fantasy, I see a bright world where each night there is less darkness. I dream of souls that are always free, like clouds that float, full of humanity. In my fantasy exists a warm wind. He probably experienced some cold. That breathes into the city like a friend. I dream of souls that are always free, like clouds that float, full of humanity in the depths of my soul. And so this word humanity that recurs through the song, when I looked that up, humanity means compassion. What this young boy was looking for: brotherly love, kindness, consideration, understanding, sympathy, being more humane. All things that will come in heavy measure. These are the messages of God's fall festivals, of the holy days we've just celebrated. This is a picture or part of God's great coming kingdom. Let's close with, you know, I like that verse that Mr. Zahori used in Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah 29, let's go back there as he was reading that. Let's go to Jeremiah 29 to close. And verse 11, Jeremiah 29:11, part of the picture of God's great kingdom. And God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." What kind of thoughts are these? Thoughts of peace, like this young fellow was singing, "I wish I could have," and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Things we don't have enough of in the world anymore. Then you will call upon me because you're going to recognize who I am. And I was willing to die for you, and I care about you, and I'm doing this for you, and it's going to be great. And you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Wow. A lot of people in this world, that's an ungraspable thing. I will be found by you, says the Lord. There's a hard time coming for this country, and this refers to that. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you. Why did God do this? This is the price that's required to buy us back from Satan, to get us back out from under where we are, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place, when you're finally ready, from which I caused you to be carried away captive, because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us, even in Babylon. And we're being raised up, God's people today, in Satan's Babylon of religious confusion. It's all true, it's all a reality, and all the more rapidly playing out before our eyes as pictured by God's feast. This is the God that we serve. This is our Creator and our parent. We just moved through the fall holy days. They picture restoring of lost loved ones back to parents and family, healing of minds and bodies beyond something I expect we can now imagine, helping all people to recognize their true value as a potential spirit-born member of the actual family of God. Get a handle on that value, if we can. Go through the middle of the sun if you feel like it. Tremendous power, actual member of the family of God, restoring hope to a humanity that has lost hope, because the need is huge. Let's all praise and value our Most High God, who has already called us into understanding of His plan for humanity. I hope you all had a great feast.